This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
As you know, we just began this new series last week. We just call it the Traveling Psalms, but they're really the songs of ascent. As you find between Psalm 120 and 134, they all have a common theme. And I just thought it would be a great way to spend our summer together. We're going to spend all these 10 weeks of summer working through these Traveling Psalms. And today we're in really one of my favorite Psalms, 121. It's such a powerful expression of God's love for us, and something that has sustained many, many people since it was written. So I know you've been encouraged and strengthened by it. One of the things that Psalm 121, really all the songs of ascent really say, is there are a lot of what-ifs in life, aren't there? We think about them. What if this happens? What if that happens, you know? And the world that we live in today is kind of a dangerous world, isn't it? I mean, there are terrorists who blow up planes. There are violent people. There are accidents that have happened. There are all kinds of things, not to mention the mundane possibilities of life, like losing your job or suffering some loss of some kind. And even the culture that we believers face today seems hostile to the values that we hold true. We just don't know what to expect. And in fact, our world can be threatened quite easily. Well, that's the theme of Psalm 121. It helps us with the fears of uncertainty, the fear that wells up when we are threatened. Six times in this psalm, the psalmist repeats the idea that the Lord keeps us, that the Lord watches over us. This awesome psalm is an expression of a believer who's just rejoicing in the fact that God is our keeper. It's just like a little toddler who feels safe when a parent is present, watching over them. Well, this passage seeks to help believers know that we too can feel safe because our Father is watching us. He's keeping us. This passage is spoken today for Christians from all generations to say one thing: God is your keeper. When your life is threatened financially, physically, spiritually, when trouble looms ahead, God says something to you: I will keep you. And whether you're a soldier in combat or you're a stay-at-home mom, you will be threatened with something. And God is saying here, when you are, I will keep you. When our world is threatened, Psalm 121 offers three assurances of God's help for us. Three assurances. And I want us to work through this psalm to figure out exactly what God is saying. This first assurance is just simply this: God Himself is our source of help. Now, you think, well, that's really simple. Yeah, but it's very, very important. God Himself is our source of help. Look what it says in the first two verses. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So here's this psalmist singing probably this song of worship on his way to Jerusalem so he can experience God's presence and worship Him. But now he's on his journey. Now he's on the road. And by the way, that means that there's trouble potential on the road. The hazards of travel, guys, today are nowhere near like the hazards of travel in that day, okay? There were ravines to cross, right? There were no bridges. There were unexpected injuries that could happen. You know, you could be waylaid by some robbers. You could be, I mean, all kinds of things could happen to you, getting you in trouble in travel. You know, we complain about having to stand in the security line to get on a plane, right? But then we're talking about trouble that could occur in very real ways. The sunstroke, physical fatigue, inadequate supplies of food, man. That's the kind of thing that you'd see in traveling. There were threats everywhere. And that's the reason that these traveling psalms are such a great metaphor for life itself. Modern believers, we don't face the hazards of travel that they face, but all of us face a whole array of physical, financial, and even psychological, spiritual dangers in our life. We're threatened. There's probably no one in this room right now who hasn't had to struggle through some job transition or work with some unexpected financial situation or have to deal with anxiety because of some potential problem that was happening. There are people right now in this room, by the way, who have a life-threatening disease. Guys, you realize that we have soldiers in our congregation, and they face the real physical threat when they are deployed. So, guys, yeah, there are hazards that we travel through when we go through this journey called life, threats on our journey. Now, to safeguard against all these fears, the psalmist advises us to do something. It's pretty cool. He says simply, lift up your eyes to the hills. Now, imagine with me for a moment, just get it in your mind's eye, this picture. Here are these pilgrims, probably in a caravan, on their way to Jerusalem, perhaps at the end of the day, perhaps far off in the horizon, against the light of the sky, perhaps the western sky, they see the ridge on which Jerusalem and the temple are located. And they see the hills then where Jerusalem sat. And in seeing those hills, they could imagine Jerusalem, they could imagine the temple, they could imagine the presence of God. And that's what he's talking about. He realizes as he lifts his eyes to the hills, he's looking at the source of his help. He's looking to God himself. The pilgrims think, I'm on this journey. What if I am in fact threatened by one of the many dangers that could hurt me? Where will my help come from? What will get me through this? Will I look to my fellow travelers? You know, if robbers come, will I look to my donkey that I'm riding on to take me away? Is that what I will trust in? Will I look to even my own wisdom to get me through this thing? No, he says, my help, he says in verse 2, he realizes, comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Friends, what this psalmist is doing is giving all of us a key principle to live by. Listen, God is my source of help. And then he describes the God he's talking about as maker of heaven and earth, our helper, our source. He's saying, man, he's the maker of heaven and earth. And what that means simply is that he's the creator of the universe. And he, that is the one, the creator of the universe is the one who helps all believers on life's journey. You know, several years ago, now I remember reading that astronomers admitted to underestimating the number of galaxies by 50 billion. Oops! You know, we have 50 billion more galaxies than we thought, okay? The reason I raise that is that the God who made those galaxies, the God who made everything, the God in all its immensity and the earth with all its variety, it's that God who is the source of our help. People who don't know God sometimes personally, sometimes think of him as a watchmaker God. Well, there's a God out there. He made the earth. And then he kind of went away and said, okay, kids, just do whatever you want. Hope you do okay? That's not the God that the Bible reveals. It's not the God that is talked about in Scripture. The maker of heaven and earth is personally interested in every one of his kids. And since he's the source of our help, guess what? He's the one we rely on for help. We lift our eyes to him. Now, guys, this passage does not say, I lift my eyes to the government. Where does my help come from? Okay, no, not the government. I lift my eyes to my employer. No, doesn't say that. I lift my eyes to the local bank. No, doesn't say that. If you're a new Christian or you're young in Christ, man, please get this right. God is our source. Guys, when you're in trouble, God may use all kind of people and resources to help you. Okay, you're sick. Good doctors, that's great. That's wonderful. Christian community in the middle of difficulty. That's awesome. Man, God can use those people. Your grandmother's financial help. Hey, take it, man. That's good. That's cool. She's going to help you. You might even have great ideas yourself on how to help yourself. Other guys in your unit, they can help you. Good. Do it. But none of these resources are your source. Listen, believers, doctors are wonderful, but they can only go so far. Your own wisdom, yes, apply it, but it can only go so far. Understand that you have only one true source of help, and that is God Himself. Now, God can order up whatever practical help He wants to help you. He can give your doctor wisdom. He can help others to want to comfort and strengthen you and help you. He can bring wisdom to you, but recognize them for what they are. All of them come from God. Lift your eyes to the hills, this passage says. That is, lift your eyes, take your heart, your mind, your spirit to God Himself. Okay, sometimes Christians don't get this. They pray. You know, I remember reading about the story of the guy who prayed. He was in a flood, and he was on top of a house floating down the stream, and he says, "Okay, God, please help me." And all of a sudden, he sees a helicopter in the distance, and it's a Coast Guard. It comes to him, and he says, "Never mind, God, the Coast Guard got to me first." And it, as if somehow, what? We don't even recognize that God is the source of the help that we need. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament comes from 2 Kings, and it's the story of Hezekiah. Here's Hezekiah, the king of Israel, and the Assyrians, far more powerful than he is, far more powerful than his nation is, and the field commander of Assyria comes up to the city and tries to demoralize the entire city. You remember it. It's in 2 Kings 18. Look what it says. "On what are you basing this confidence of yours? Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.'" And then later on, Assyria sends Hezekiah a written note. And this written note says basically to Hezekiah, "God can't help you. Better surrender." Now look what Hezekiah does with that note. Look what he does in 2 Kings 19. "Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. And then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord God of Israel, you have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Deliver us from this hand so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God.'" Now, I like what Hezekiah does. He goes straight to God because that's where his help comes from. He doesn't do a thing until he's looked to God. And notice what he does. I've always loved this. He takes the letter and he just spreads it out. "Here you go, God. Here's the threat." And he just lays it out to God. Guys, he takes this difficulty literally and just lays it out. Listen, so I would say to you, if you're feeling threatened some way, if you're experiencing some difficulty that you wonder how you're going to make it through, if you're afraid of what even might happen, take that situation and, like Hezekiah, lay it out before God. Why? Because He's your source. Look to the hills. You rely on Him first. You rely on Him. You trust Him. Now, be grateful for the people that God may send, okay, right? Because God does send help. But rely on God. Receive His good gifts, but rely on God. So what's threatening you right now? What physical, financial, psychological, or spiritual threat is out there for you? My question is this: are you looking to the hills? Are you looking to the source of your help in this difficulty? Now, having clearly assured believers that He is the source, the psalmist then goes on to give us a second assurance of God's help. And here's what he says, assurance number two: God's help is certain. Wow. Look what he says in verses 3-6. "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. In other words, when the scripture is mentioning sun and moon here, it's talking 24/7, okay? Notice that the psalmist remembers that God is his source. He applies this principle. Now remember, in verses 1 and 2, he speaks in the first person. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. But in verses 3 through 6, notice the psalmist uses the second person. He will not let your foot slip. So what he's doing now, certainly he's applied all of these truths to himself, but now he's instructing all believers who come after him. And even though we know the enormity of power of God, it might occur to you, well, is God really going to help me? And to what extent will he help me? Okay, he watches over Israel, but is he going to help me? Well, the psalmist answers the question and says God's promise of help applies to every believer. He says he won't even let your foot slip or stumble. Now again, the psalmist is probably using the imagery of travel here. Because in those days, if you were crossing some ravine and your foot fell or stumbled, then you'd be in big trouble. I don't know if any of you have been on any hikes on Mount Si or some other hike in our area, right? Sometimes you look down and think, well, I hope I don't stumble because you're out of there. Well, that's the idea here. Really, though, this phrase is a figure of speech to indicate involvement in any type of trouble or misfortune that comes our way. Because in that world, slipping on the journey could really get you hurt. But in our world, our feet can slip in so many different ways. Isn't that true? And pretty quickly, we find ourselves in deep, deep trouble if we do that. Verse 3 expands this assurance. Look what it says. Our God is not going to sleep through any problem or any difficulty we have. He who watches over you, he says, will neither sleep nor slumber. Now, guys, partially what this does, it reminds us of our own limitations. Think about it. There are a lot of fathers in this room. Fathers, can you stay awake 24/7 watching over your children? No, you can't. Pastors, shepherds, can we watch over God's people 24/7? No, we can't. Even military commanders, you want to protect your men and women under your command. You can't stay awake 24 hours doing everything that needs to be done. Only God can give us security and guidance when we need it 24/7. Remember, sun and moon are mentioned here. That's talking about 24/7. God neither sleeps nor slumbers. Now, all of us can think of times when God reached out to help us, right? Think about it. You go over your life, you just can think of just thing after thing, ways that God has helped you. I remember a time, I've told this before in this service, but I remember a time years ago when my kids were still at home and we were traveling from a town in San Angelo, Texas, all the way to Dallas, Texas. There was a freak snowstorm in April. And so we had to travel hundreds of miles, and we had to do it because we had to catch a plane. And I remember waking up that morning on the radio saying, do not go out on the roads. You know, and we saw car after car after car in the ditch on our way there. Well, what happened is we had to catch this plane. So this doesn't reflect real well on me, by the way. We had to catch this plane. So I started speeding up a little bit. You know, I started speeding up just a little bit because we had to catch that plane. And then we went over this bridge. Then what happened is, here's what happened. I'll show it to you visually. Three times, 60 miles an hour, we're just going right down the road. And then we came out on the right side of the road, facing down the road. It was beautiful. Now, during this time, Naomi was saying, help us, Jesus! And my son, John, about 8 years old, was going, wee! You know, this is, you know. But, guys, I just remind you that because all of us have had those situations, have we not? Every one of us can think of some time, wow, what could have happened if we slammed into a tree or another car was coming or whatever. You know, I've told you before also, Nam and I were in a traveling ministry years ago now, and we were six of us were in this traveling team. We're in this big van on the Evergreen Floating Bridge, and we ran out of gas. I know that's stupid, but that's what we did. So, as you know, there's no shoulder on the Evergreen. There's no point. There's no shoulder. So the leader of our group said, "We got to get out of this van because we're going to get hit." So we're all lined up. It's in the rain. It's dark. It's 11 o'clock. We're all there. I wonder what's going to happen. Then out of the misty darkness comes running this jogger. He's got on a jogging outfit. He's jogging. They're shorts even. I don't know. Why is he wearing shorts? I have no idea. But he's carrying a can of gas and flares. He puts the flares down while we, in shocked silence, watch him put gas in our car and then say to us, "Be careful now, God bless," and then run the other direction. So our helper never sleeps or slumbers. He never does. I remember reading about a pastor who prayed with his wife one time. He was leaving on a trip, and he prayed, "Dear Lord, please protect Carolyn and the children while I'm gone." And when he'd finished praying, his wife Carolyn looked up and said, "Who do you think protects us when you're here?" Okay. Guys, our keeper never sleeps or slumbers. Now look at verses 3 through 6 again, and you see that verse 5 repeats the verb watch. Now guys, that verb is translated variously to watch, to watch over, or to keep. But it's all the same thing. We're under God's observation. We're under God's care. The Lord watches over you. The psalmist then goes on to help us understand some of what that means. He says, the Lord, look at this, the Lord is your shade, he says, against the burning rays of the sun. Now, the image here is that God stands between us and whatever distresses or threatens us. Think about that. That's the purpose of a shade. It's between us and that thing that threatens us. We think, man, this potential job loss is right there staring me in the face. But no, God is between you and that job loss. We think, man, this storm is brewing. I don't know what's going to happen. No, but God is between you and that storm. The enemy is out there. Literally, for soldiers, it would be, the enemy is out there. And God would say, no, I'm between you and the enemy. He is your shade. He is between you and that sun protecting you. Now, in today's world, evil is often hidden, isn't it? We don't always see the evil that comes. So what do we need? We need a God who doesn't slumber. We need a God who's between us and the trouble. The God who is our keeper. What you can't see, God can see. Now, some of you are saying, but Art, what about the bad things that do happen? If God is our keeper, what's going on? Well, I'll talk about that in the next section. But let me say this. First of all, because God sometimes allows difficulty, doesn't mean he's not watching over you. You know, sometimes Christians, I'm going to just say this gently, sometimes Christians feel they almost go ballistic when something bad is happening. God may have protected that Christian for 35 years and no major problem. And then when the problem comes, the Christian says, well, what is God, why is God abandoning me? Well, in fact, think of how many times God has protected you and you've never even known it. So if God is allowing some pain in your life right now, first of all, don't let that pain negate the assurance of his help. I remember when I was 21 years old, most of you who go to the Lighthouse know that my father was an alcoholic, so I grew up in that environment. And when I was 21 years old, I was a college student. I was home, and it was just me and my brother and my dad. And my dad had been drinking all day, and it was the weekend. He just got drunker and drunker. And my brother, who's 2 years older than I am, he just got into it with him. He started talking, and they started arguing. And my brother eventually came to the point where he said, "You never loved me." And then it's like all the frustration of all those growing up years came out, and they began to fight. And here I am. I'm 21 years old. I'm flabbergasted. I'm saying, and I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to get them apart. And yet they're going at it. And they slowed down a little bit. My father went to his bedroom and got his shotgun out. Was trying to load it, but he was pretty drunk, so he couldn't load it very well. So my brother got to him. They broke out all the windows. And finally, they're out wrestling out on the front yard. And again, I'm trying to get between them. I'm trying to do everything I can. And I'm calling out to God. I'm just kind of beside myself. And finally, the police come, and it's over. Now, why do I tell you that? Because just like all of us can think of times when God helped us, we can think of times just like that, can't we, in our lives, most of us? We can. That's one of those memories seared into my psyche. I'll always remember that, and it was very painful for me. It was something that, affected me. Well, that happens with everybody, doesn't it? All of you have those things. And you might say, well, where was God? Well, I'm going to let you know something. He was right there with me, helping me through the actual fight, helping me to know what to do. He was right there with me when my pastor came over later and prayed with me and comforted me in the middle of that thing. He was right there when I had to sort that out emotionally in the years to come. Even when God allows a problem or a difficulty, He promises never to sleep or to slumber during that difficulty. He promises to be our shade. That is, to be between us and that difficulty. Nim and I in our married life can tell you that there's never been a time, no matter what the difficulty was, that we didn't feel that God was watching over us and that He was between us and that difficulty. Not when our son died, not when our son John got cancer, not when we've had financial difficulties or wants or needs, not any of those times. We've never, ever felt abandoned by God. He is our source. He is. Now, what's the assurance of these verses here? God's help is certain in the life of every believer. And last week when I talked about crying out to God, remember that from Psalm 120? One of the things I said that what God most often provides when we cry out to Him is strength. Strength in the middle of that difficulty. Well, that's part of what happens when He becomes our shade. He gives us what's needed in that way. He's between us. So the assurance is this, man, God's help is certain. Are you aware that God stands between you and that difficulty? Are you aware that if He allows that difficulty, that He promises to be with you through the difficulty? He does. Now, there's one more assurance here, and that is His help is limitless. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. I say His help is limitless because that's the only word that fits the scriptural description here. Two phrases are used. The phrase coming and going. Guys, in the Hebrew expression, that means all the circumstances and the occupations of life. It includes everything, man. The trips on vacation. It includes home, work, play, rest, full speed ahead. Doesn't matter. Our keeper watches us from the time we wake up in the morning and go out into the marketplace until we return home. It's mind-boggling, but true. God is watching over His kids at all times in our comings and goings. Guys, I have a one-year-old grandson. I spent a week with vacation with him a couple weeks ago. We were all together, and I can tell you, a one-year-old preschooler is always under the watchful eye of some adult. Always. There is never a moment that a one-year-old is ever out of sight of a mom, a grandmom, a papa, somebody. And God, so guys, in the same way, that's the attention God gives us, His preschoolers, right? God's preschoolers. His eye is always there in our coming and going. God is concerned about the smallest detail of our lives. There's a second phrase here. Look what it says, both now and forevermore. God is his keeping power doesn't begin sometime in the future. And in fact, remember before it says sun and moon, 24/7. Basically, the psalmist is saying the scope of God's care is limitless. He's saying, I trust God. Then he's saying, you believers, you trust God. You can rely on him because his care is limitless. Now look at this phrase with me, the Lord will keep you from all harm. I want to talk about how this fits in to this phrase. If you haven't experienced some difficulty, then you haven't been living very long, right? I look around this congregation, I see people who've been through some difficult times right now, right here. So what does it mean? If the Lord is keeping us from all harm, why in the world am I experiencing this difficulty? Well, first of all, you got to recognize that your definition of harm is not God's definition of harm. We tend to think that being hurt physically or financially will always result in harm. But I want to tell you that I've walked with many believers through some difficult time, and while there was hurt, there was not ultimate harm. In fact, I've been encouraged many, many times. In the middle of hurt, when believers turn to God, they're not harmed. It's when they turn away from God that they're harmed. There's a huge difference between being hurt and being harmed. If God allows some tests in your life, some hurtful situation, and it's apparent that it's his plan, he promises to walk with you through it, and as you turn to him, you will not be harmed. The psalm assures us of God's presence, but what it doesn't do is assure us of a problem-free life. The phrase, all harm, doesn't imply a cushioned life. It just means that God is going to be your source, he's going to be your shade, and he's going to be your help. That's what Psalm 23 is about. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There are going to be valleys, but God is going to be with us. That's the reason that Paul said in 2 Timothy, I love this, just before his death. Now, Paul's about to die. Here's what he says. I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Now, this is Paul. The time has come for me to go. My journey is about over. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Guys, do you get what he's saying here? One moment he's saying, well, they're going to kill me. And the next, he's saying, the Lord's going to rescue me. But listen, he understands that if God allows him to be martyred, that will constitute a rescue. Right? No real harm can touch Paul. Only if he was to turn away from God would he be harmed. But he's brought safely into God's kingdom. I have a friend. I'm going to close this way. His name is John Stumbo. And John Stumbo pastored a large church in Salem, Oregon, over 3,000 people. And John, I've known John for a long time, and I just had lunch with him last month, and he told the story again. John was he's a smart guy. He pastored a large church, a great leader, but also John was an athletic guy. He just ate right, he worked right, he played right, he exercised right, and he was one of those guys who would do 30-mile trail runs, you know, one of those guys. And so one day, he woke up, he was sick, he had to go to the hospital. 3 months later, John, my friend, he's now living in a wheelchair, and he's got a feeding tube because he can't swallow anything. Over a few months, he loses 50 pounds, and he's in good shape to start with, so there's no fat there. 50 pounds he loses. He can't swallow, so he can't eat any food. The doctors say to him, listen, John, unlikely you'll ever regain the ability to swallow. And so he had to resign his pastoral position. Number one, he was weak, but number two, he couldn't hardly speak. Couldn't hardly understand him. And because I knew John, I read an account of his journey because he wrote a book about it, and he gave it to me, and I said, sure, I'll read it. And one of the things that so encouraged me about this book was the John's attitude. Yes, he was perplexed. Yes, sometimes angry. But he clung to the Lord. He made the journey with God at the center, and he knew that God was between him and that difficulty. And he knew that God was his source. And the Lord helped him through every step of that journey. Now, by the way, he was on that feeding tube for 16 months, but at 16 months, the Lord miraculously healed his swallowing reflex. And he was able then to get off that feeding tube. And now, I just had lunch with him. He looks like most of his weight has returned. He's not fully healed. I mean, the disease has some difficulties, but man, he's back online. I say all that to let you know something. Though God allowed hurt in John's life, John will tell you he was not harmed. Now, friends, you can trust your keeper. And why? He watches over you. He's your shade 24/7. He's watching. He's your defender. And guys, I want to let you know something. That's worth more than all the security systems you could have going on in your house. It's worth more than the insurance policies you probably have. It's more than any government guarantee. I think we can all agree with that, right? Okay? It's worth more even than your own IQ, right? Your own smarts. You can rely on our keeper.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.